Before Moses could stand before Pharaoh and order, "Let my people go," before he could lead his people to freedom on dry ground through the Red Sea, and well before he could stand on a mountain and see the glory of God and receive the Ten Commandments, a picture always immortalized by Charlton Heston, there were these two midwives, Shipra and Puah, who stood their own ground with Pharaoh. When told to kill the Hebrew boys, they disobeyed, made up a story about the strength of the Israelite women, and delivered many children to safety. They feared God, the scripture says, and that's why they could do it, disobey Pharaoh, the king, and let the children live. For just a moment with you, I want to ponder that phrase, fearing God, because it seems it's not something we talk much about anymore. I mean, fear is not something any of us want to experience. We have enough of it in our daily lives. And God? Well, in our Lutheran tradition, we do not use fright to manipulate people into believing in God, nor do we believe God would want that. We aren't the type to put up billboards or hand out flyers depicting the flames of hell to warn you about your destination if you don't get your life right. No, God is grace and love and forgiveness, not fear. And yet, when our catechism, which Luther wrote, a small book to teach the essentials of the faith, when our catechism explores those Ten Commandments that Moses received with the glory of God, when it looks at the first one, "You shall have no other gods before me," how does our catechism explain it? What does it mean? Well, according to the catechism, this commandment means we are what? To fear, love, and trust God above all things. I once taught an adult education class on that catechism, and somebody stepped up and slammed the book down and said, "If that's what it is, then I'm not sure I can believe it. Why should I fear and be afraid of God?" And yet, scripture also says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is confidence." Shipra and Puah feared God and defied Pharaoh, saved the Hebrew boys from death. We, like they, are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. What does this mean? Rather than manipulation and fright, the word fear in the Hebrew scriptures and what we call the Old Testament, the word fear is actually connected to ideas of reverence and honor. It's the thing that happens inside of us when we are connected to something bigger than ourselves. Awe, you might say. It's what happens inside of us when we become aware that God is very, very big. Bigger, in fact, than any human circumstance. And that in the face of God's bigness, we are in fact very, very small. But more, it's what happens inside of us when we recognize that though we are very, very small, we are connected to this very, very, very big God. Connected to God's purposes and connected to God's desires and connected to God's love. Shipra and Puah, Hebrew midwives, do not have as much power in Egypt as Pharaoh does. They are servants and not queens or princesses, but they know that there's a power afoot even bigger than Pharaoh. Whatever his ability to enslave and oppress and kill, God is nevertheless greater. And that big God, that great God, desires life. That great God is against slavery. That great God is against forced labor, against separating parents from children, God for his people, come as Egypt as refugees from famine. God is for life and against death. Shifra and Pua are in awe of, in reverence of a God who loves life, a God who is not interested in the differences between Egyptians and Israelites, a God before whom people do not need to compete for the right to breathe or to live. This awe, this reverence, this honor, call it fear, leads them to have no fear of disobeying Pharaoh. We are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. Now, it needs to be said, reading the story, that Pharaoh has also a kind of fear. And it's worthy to look at that as well. This kind of fear the scriptures describe as dread. The Egyptians dreaded the Israelites. But this fear, is different than the fear of the Lord that Shifra and Pua had. This dread is not the kind of thing that connects the Egyptians, Pharaoh, to anything larger than themselves. In fact, it turns the sense of largeness and smallness inside out and upside down. Pharaoh is worried that he won't be the biggest story in the land. Pharaoh is worried that the Israelites have become numerous and strong. And Pharaoh is afraid of history too, and what would happen if he learned it. For the scripture says he knew not Joseph or Joseph's story. No one has told him, or perhaps he has not heard, how an Israelite named Joseph helped Egypt avoid starvation and death. And how, in turn, the Egyptians helped the Israelites survive the same famine. Pharaoh has forgotten that people must live together, depend on one another. Pharaoh has bought into competition, afraid that he will be outnumbered, that he will be overrun, and his dread of not being big leads not to life, but to death. There's something about this story, I think, these two fears, the fear of Shifra and Pua of God's greatness, the small worry of Pharaoh that poses the question, do we fear, love, and trust God above all things? Are we aware of the things that reflect God's love of life for all people, especially for those who have little power? Or are we instead consumed by Pharaoh-like dread, worried about our own selves, our own status, our own groups? As the commandments often do, this story, I think, reveals how little we truly fear God in that awe and reverence kind of way. If we were, as a people, truly gripped by fear of the Lord, we would be working powerfully together to bring life in the midst of this virus, rather than fighting bitter political battles. If we were gripped by fear of the Lord, protest in our society would be irrelevant. Why? Because all of us would have a passion for justice and equality in everything we did. In everything we did, we'd be working hard to make sure that our society was fair for everyone, and there would be no need. Do we love, fear, and trust God above all things? Are we connected to that deep well of life, that deep passion and love that is God's very being? If God was a scary God, if God was a God afraid for his own status the way that Pharaoh was, if God was like Pharaoh, our failures to fear in awe and reverence, our failures to act out of that honor would be the beginning of the end of the story. If God was like Pharaoh, God would see our refusal to fear, our refusal to act, and God would say, enough of these. people. They are numerous and annoying to me. And God would close the window for hope. And the chaos that we are experiencing now as a society and a people would be judgment. And in fact, there are many right now who wonder if this is in fact what God is doing. That we have this virus, this unrest, because God is angry and God is judging and the fire is coming. There is no end right now to the conspiracies that will try to invoke God's wrath on this moment. And if God was like Pharaoh, the conspiracies would be right. But hear this and mark this well. Look at the story of what fear of God does. Fear of God in Exodus chapter 1 leads to life through midwives, Shifra and Puah. God is not like Pharaoh, afraid for his own status. God is bigger than us, qualitatively different than we are. God wants our obedience, but God cannot be hurt because God is God and God is the giver of life. God is not like Pharaoh. Who is God like? God is like Shifra and Puah, like a midwife standing in the midst of the world, looking at our zeal for power, our tolerance of death, and saying to us who would live like Pharaoh, I will not play by these rules. No, I will not bend to the force of death. No, God says, like a righteous midwife, I will continue to work for their life. And so God bears life into the world, sending Jesus as a small baby, a Hebrew son, who again and again says no to the power of death, lives with zeal for those who have no power. In his life, Jesus never lost his awareness of God's love. And this awareness, call it fear of the Lord or call it faith, births hope. Jesus holds his awareness of God's life all the way to the cross and through to an empty tomb. And now he lives. Lives to continue to say no to our petty dreads and our indifference. Lives to say yes to God's life, to connection, and to reverence. In this yes to life is the beginning of wisdom and the confidence of strength. Amen.